Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and I have a Han Kangaroo for beer. I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
And we're the Drunk Guys, and this week we are reading The Vegetarian by Han Kang. And who's starting with a beer? Anyone starting with a beer?
Okay, so right in the beginning, the main character, can't pronounce any of their names, so I'm not going to try, decides to stop eating meat, and the rest of her family thinks she's mad. So this is Mad River Maple by Captain Lawrence.
It's by Lawson's Finest Liquids, Nate.
Lawson's Finest Liquids, that's right. It starts with an L-A-W. It's almost, I only have a reading podcast,
your brain fills in the rest of it.
This is a maple ale, whatever that is.
It's made from trees.
Which works on at the end of the book.
Tastes like an ale with some maple syrup in it. So yeah, it's pretty good.
Truth in advertising. So the novel, we picked this because it was short, right?
We picked this because she just won the Nobel Prize for Literature.
Oh, well, I think we should learn two lessons from this. One, short books aren't easy necessarily, and Nobel Prize winning authors are definitely not easy.
No. I mean, I had read this before. I read this maybe a year or two ago, and all I remember from it that time was, I don't know what the fuck I just read. And having read it again, I feel exactly the same way.
Maybe that's what she was going for, because I got that.
Oh, well, then we nailed it.
So the book was originally published in South Korea in 2007, and then was translated into English and published in 2015 in the UK, when it won the Man Booker International Prize.
The first one.
Yeah.
Right? The very first year they did it.
Yeah, I think. Oh. Is that the one they do every other year? Or is it, I think it's, like they, yeah, it's every other year, but they had changed it. Oh, no, it was every other year for like the first decade and a half of the 2000s. And then they revised it in 2016, and this was the first winner of that new version. And I'm looking at the list of winners. Don't know any of the other ones. Shit.
They're international books, so, international books from, at this point, 10 years ago.
Yeah. Some of these names are just funny to me. Jenny Erpenbeck. That's Jane Doe in Germany. So this came out a while ago, and we probably would have been better served to read more of the commentary about it that's come out since, but we went in pretty dry. And it's divided into three parts. Jimmy, Nate, did you do the audiobook actually?
Nope. I knew I would have no idea what was going on if I did the audiobook. I thought it was short. So I was like, you know what? I can just read it. And I did.
Interesting that you say that counts as reading it, Nate.
I have heard none of this out loud.
So I know how to pronounce the names.
Okay. Can you help us? Because it's just going to sound so shitty.
Racist.
It is going to sound racist, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially the guy who's Mr. Because if I go Mr. Chong, it's going to sound like I'm really...
Yeah, his name is Mr. Chong.
All right, fine.
But the main character... is this the wife? You never get a part of the book from her perspective. It's from people around her. The first part is from her husband, Mr. Chong. Her name is Yong Hye.
Now, yeah. Yong is the family name, or something?
No, Chong is his last name. Yong Hye is her first name.
Because there's like
I don't know what her family name is.
Because there's an off-page brother who's like Yong Ho later on.
Yeah, his name is Yong Hyo, and her sister, In Hye, those are their first names, but they have the last names of their husbands. I don't know if it ever says what the what their family... I think it might be Kim.
Oh, it is, yeah. Because, well, they're Korean. It was either that or Park. But yeah, it's...
Yeah, I mean, it's very, 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 very common. it's crazy common.
So she's a homemaker. Married to Mr. Chong, who I forgot what he's like, whatever. But
I think his primary job is being an asshole.
Yeah.
That's his primary employment.
Yeah.
Because he is a huge jerk.
Even when he describes his wife, he's like, my wife is kind of shitty.
She's completely unremarkable, is the first sentence of the book.
And he was like, all of stories. And that suited me because I didn't want to work hard in school or do that well. And so it just kind of fit with my life to have a wife that was also unremarkable.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
You know, someone has to be that 50th percentile of stuff.
The most average man in the world.
Mr. Chong Q Public. But yeah, he's like, yeah. My wife is whatever. She's kind of weird. Sometimes she doesn't like to wear a bra, and that's fucking annoying. It's like, strike one, bro. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, that's an absurd thing.
But everyone gets mad.
I must say, this the first time I read this book, I assumed I did not understand most of it because of differences in culture between South Korea and here. And I think there's still a lot of that. Having read it a second time, it's a lot of that, but it's also just like it's Nobel Prize winning literature, so it is opaque. But it is, there's a lot of cultural stuff here that if you don't know a lot about South Korea or even more generally like Asia and the way their culture works different from ours, you're not going to pick up on weird little things like the way husbands and wives interact. And it's hard unless you like go into it knowing some, you're not going to get that shit. And I fucking didn't. I have a baseline understanding, but it's still really, really weird.
The only thing I gathered about the husband-wife relationship, which I gather is central to the book, actually, or at least the first third, is that the man is much more traditional, and the man is very much like it's the boss of the family. Much. And the wife is supposed to just go along. And like she got passed off from her dad, basically. Like, and now the husband is almost like the father figure of the new family that she is part of.
It is very much like that. There's a huge problem in South Korea with misogyny. It's pretty, like, what we would consider, like, cartoonish is not commonplace, but, like, to a degree an accepted norm over there. Not everywhere, certainly, and not by everyone, but it is far more common for just, like, the women to be treated as less thans in society.
So in the beginning, he, what's her name? The
young
character. Young Hye. She, you know, so it's from the husband's perspective, and he's definitely an asshole. And he's just like, oh, and, you know, sometimes she's just a little weird, and sometimes she's quiet, but also sometimes she doesn't like to wear a bra. And then she, like, has a dream, and then, you know, he just, like, finds her, like, standing in the kitchen, and she's, she opened the fridge and she's taken out all of the meat that they've had in the fridge. I mean, it's her job to cook every day. So like, you know, she's the primary cook and there's all this fancy, you know, nice meat, fancy meat, you know, like frozen, was it octopus?
A lot of sea creatures. I mean, they are on a peninsula, yeah, mm-hmm. So that makes sense.
It is a great,
so that seafood place.
Makes sense. And she's just throwing it all away. And this is like, some of it's expensive, you know. And so he's mad. You know, I assume some of it was at least like special or, you know, for special occasions and, you know, was, you know, expensive. So, and he's all mad. Not that he needed any excuse to get mad at her, but he does. Does he hit her at this point? I can't remember.
No, he doesn't hit her until far later.
Not yet. That's later, but he's like, are you crazy? And all he just, and that's kind of like his line for this whole like section. It's like, what's wrong with you? Are you crazy?
Yeah, he's like, why are you throwing in all like, that no. meat? And she's like, I don't want to eat it. He's like, but it's delicious. This beer is called Delicious, and it's from Stone. Delicious IPA, 7.7% alcohol. Sorry, Nate. I would never have another chance to do this. It's very good, and it's very old school IPA. Bitter as shit. I'm here for it. I love it. So then what does she respond, Nate?
It should be said that, you know, Korea, they eat meat all the time with everything. It's like, it's not necessarily... From my understanding and my experience, like fetishize like we do here sometime, like, yeah, I'm going to eat nothing but meat because I'm American. Yeah, I'm going to eat a burger and I'm going to suck a cow's dick and eat a steak. You know,
they're not,
like
it's not a nation of Jordan Petersons.
No, not like that. But like eating meat with every meal is just, that's what else would you eat? It's more like, what do you mean you're not going to eat meat? That's what, that's what we have.
You have to put something so to with say, the kimchi. Just...
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Of course, there are, you know, kimchi and rice and meat is just like, you eat meat all the time, and it is fucking good. I've had a lot of it, but it is to and this was like in America, saying you're vegetarian is common now, and maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago when this was written, still accepted here, but for like other parts of the world, they're like, are you fucking stupid? What's wrong with you? No.
Yeah, they seem to have no like schema into which to even place this. Like, they don't even think of it. They're like, are you like one of those weird Western like animal rights people? Like, it's foreign to them throughout the rest of the book.
You something must be wrong with you for you to say I'm not going to eat meat anymore.
But she takes it very like normal. She's just like, no, I just don't want to. Like, no, I just don't feel like it. She's like, I don't want to. Then she doesn't even, they don't even really, no one really, they ask a little bit why. And she says, because I had a dream, which, so you get a little bit of snippets of like some stuff from the dream. But anyway, so she's like, I'm just not eating meat. And the husband's like getting, you know, like really mad, but you know, he doesn't force her to eat it. But then they're like, oh, and then he calls, the husband calls her father, or like they have a phone call, because it's like, oh, we're going to visit your brother-in-law, sister-in-law. This is a young he's sister and their husband. They're going to go there in a couple of weeks or something like that. And the father's like, oh, we'll work it out there. In the meantime, the husband, he has a dinner party with his boss, and he goes there. And first, his wife is young. He is not wearing a bra. And everyone was like, everyone notices. And it's like, what? That is so strange. And then also, she won't eat the meat. And everyone is like, that is bizarre. And the husband gets very mad. And then,
you're fucking embarrassing me, lady. What are you doing?
And then, if he wasn't a big enough asshole, he rapes her.
Well, she refuses to... She makes him only eat a vegetarian diet. And she's like, I can't even be near you because you smell like meat. And he's like, oh, shut the fuck up. And after a while, he's like, I need to get my dick sucked. And then he rapes her. He builds to it in his mind. He's like, how long is a man supposed to wait? Come on. Yeah, and then he's like, I felt really good after it.
And but the following sentence is like, and then she was lying there like a comfort woman, meaning referring to the way the Japanese used women during World War II. So it was like right there. I mean, that is literally what you're supposed to get from it, because was the next sentence right afterward. So anyway, there's the very dramatic scene where they go to the sister-in-law for like the party, and then Young-hee is like, I'm just not eating meat. I don't want to. And the father, her father, just flips out and is just like, you, of course you will. And then they try to like hold her arms and then just like force meat into her face. And then he freaks out. And also slaps her in the face. Yes. And then it's going to like force her to eat meat. And then she just like, of course, hates it and spits back up or something. And then she takes her knife and slashes her wrist. And there's blood everywhere, and then they like wrap it up and take her to the hospital.
Meanwhile, the parents, including her mother as well, are just apologizing to the husband. It's like, I'm so sorry. I don't know what's wrong with her. She is, you know, she's acting shameful. I don't know where we went wrong.
Because she's not listening to her husband or her father.
Yeah,
double whammy. It's interesting you said the thing about the comfort woman, Nate, and I'm not sure what we're supposed to take from that, except for some sort of, you know, colonial thing or something, potentially.
I think it's essentially like comparing yourself to the worst, like one of the worst that's ever happened to Korea is like...
Oh, sure. The occupation.
It's just like, wow, this is the worst thing you could do.
Oh, I get, but then it's also, for some reason, the only detail we get about her father is that he's a Vietnam vet. So yeah. It's like, maybe there's something in here about colonialism or something about empire and like, you know, maxim or whatever, like about like Korea is a shrimp between whales or something like that. Like its history has been just dictated by China and Japan.
A shrimp among whales.
Yes. So I was like, oh, is that something here? I don't know.
Well, I don't want to get too far into it, but the author has said, I think this novel has some layers, questioning human violence and the impossibility of innocence, defining sanity and madness, the impossibility of understanding others.
A lot of things already.
Everything, yes. So yes, that's definitely part of it.
I mean, it has some layers. Yeah, a Taco Bell 7 layers has some layers. That's a lot more, lady.
So this first part of the book reminded me of Metamorphosis by Franz Kafka. Mm. Because in Metamorphosis, or more like the way people think of the book is he just like turns into an insect, turns into a cockroach on like the very first
sentence,
the very first line, you know, and then everyone else is like his family and everyone's like, ew, so gross, disgusting. Although the book is very surreal, and I think there's kind of like a second way to interpret what's going on is that Gregor, the main character, just says, I don't want to go to work anymore because the job is awful, and everyone treats him like an insect because he like won't take his place. He won't both do his duty and or like participate in society in the new like capitalist.
And the Germans are like, he's not following society. Orders. That's the one thing we do. We just do that.
And so this young he is like reminding me of that, where she just kind of says very matter-of-factly, like, no, I just won't eat meat. And everyone flips out. Like, what do you mean you won't eat meat? You know, are you crazy? Nobody ever asks her, are you, you know, what's wrong? What can we do to help you? What can, you know, what is, you know, or just like, what is, you know, what's going on? Both, they don't even try to understand it, and they don't even say, do you need help? Especially when she like slashes her wrist, like she tries to kill herself. And they're still, and then the husband is still like, you know, what's wrong with you? Anyway, this first part reminded me of that. And I don't think, and so that book is about the sort of like in-person, no, the, I don't know how to say it, sort of like a critique of modern society.
Dehumanizing
nature of modern society. And I feel like that message, at least in some way, also explains what's happening in this book.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I would say that makes sense. I would agree with, I think that would be until like the rest of the book when she actually appears to be losing her mind. And then it gets confusing. More confusing for me.
Yeah, I thought the first part was confusing till I got later on. I was like, oh, I totally got that. That was great.
that was the
about
easy
meat
part.
The whole time.
I thought the first part was confusing till I got to the second part.
And the second part, I was like, yeah. I think I get this. This is.
I have not yet begun to not get it.
And I think, so based on part one, the part that I had a vague theory, I thought there was something about, because like they keep going on about her fucking tits and how she's like sunbathing, like she doesn't want she has her boobs out. She's like doing chores naked. And she's like, what? I just want to be fucking, have my titties out. And he's like, what? The people might see. And she's like, what? I don't care. There's something, it has to be something, because like it's a pretty feminine feature. It has to be something about the patriarchy of South Korea or something like that. And the way women are treated and how she has no say over her body, over what she does with it. I mean, there's a literal rape in the book, and then there's like the forcing of a different kind of meat on her later on in this section.
Well, in this Booker website also it says, Han Kang also says, if I could say one thing, this novel isn't a singular indictment of the Korean patriarchy. I wanted to deal with my long-lasting questions about the possibility or impossibility of innocence in the world, which is mingled with such violence and beauty. So, I mean, yeah, it's part of it, but it's like, not just that. She's saying, it's not just that. That's simplistic. But like, yeah, fine, I guess. Right. But like, it's about a billion things, apparently. So who the fuck?
Well, that's one piece. That's one ingredient. And the rest,
yeah.
Fuck if I know. But I was like, I mean,
it's not there.
Is this like,
she
is this
not
like
say
the,
it wasn't
I need
there
to look for
not?
Like the Rumsfeldian unknown unknowns? Like, I don't.
The absence of evidence is not the evidence of absence.
I read that same quote and I was like, I don't believe her. Because unless this was put there.
She's saying it's not just like simply just that. It's about a lot of stuff.
But it's like, is that what she put there as the trap for shitty readers like me? You think
that's
dummy.
The surface layer. If there is a surface layer on this one.
No,
the most surface layer is the dumb comment I read that was like, this is a little unrealistic. I don't think anyone would react to vegetarianism this way. It was pushing an agenda. It's like, that's the dumb answer.
Yeah, because there's actually like nothing about being a vegetarian in the book. Like they're like, is it because of animals? She's like, I just don't want to do it. She never gets
preachy.
Because
I have spooky dreams about meat-faced people. Like, they freak me out. It's like, oh, okay.
She actually becomes vegan. Like, she stops using leather. she stops using animal
well,
products.
Well, there's an idea on the website is like that word didn't necessarily have a translation in Korean at the time.
Wants like to there hear was no more effectively from vegans. We're not going to call it that. You're like, oh, fuck, I know what they're going to say. You would just not read it.
The vegan.
So it's not a book about being vegetarian. It's like really not. It's like this is an allegory that's just 11 onions deep of layer.
So part two, I can tell you what happens. That I can do. Although, I didn't know what I wasn't even sure what the term Mongolian mark even meant.
It's a birthmark.
Just a birthmark. It's like a bluish, darkish patch that kind of newborns sometimes have, and it fades away usually.
Sometimes it doesn't fade away, and adults
is
have
that
them.
Really
it's
a
like,
thing?
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
It's a thing in Korea. Like, they call them that in Korea. I don't know if they're called that elsewhere, but yeah, she's got a little birthmark, and her brother-in-law notices and he's like, I must fuck her.
There's a little line in the first section where Mr. Chong is like, oh, my sister-in-law, she's so hot. And he's like, whenever I hear her voice, I immediately get a boner. And then you go to the second part, and you find out that the sister's husband also finds Young Hee really hot. But doesn't, so, okay, Young He's, whatever, sister is like thought of as like both, you know, conventionally beautiful and like runs this like business or like makeup store. What was it again?
It's some kind of store, yeah.
Yeah, cosmetic thing, which is like very successful. And she also runs the house, meaning.
Yeah, a lot of skin bleaching.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, also cooks and cleans and does all the stuff. And so she is in many ways the quote unquote model wife, or at least in the very like traditional sense, except she also works and brings in all the income so that the husband can go off and just be an artist.
Making video art, which is the worst one.
Yeah. So one thing about like this book considers this kind of art so beautiful. He has a camcorder, which in my mind is literally just one of those giant VHS camcorders, you know. That's what I pictured in my mind. Exactly. And it still has the little date on the screen at all times, so like can't go away. Yeah. All is art.
That's part of the art because time is a finite concept.
But yet the clock is never set right either, so it's always January 1st, 1989 or whatever. Every video, January 1st, 1989. Anyway, so he's an artist, and so it's from his perspective, and he's always found Young He's. How do you say her name?
Young Hee.
Young Hee. Young Hee.
It's like Hey, but the letters are switched.
Young Hee is very hot, and he's not like actually attracted to his wife.
Well, he also, he kind of finds her, he didn't necessarily find her attractive before, until he saw her birth butt mark, and also because he doesn't like his wife anymore because she's, you know, because she's not a traditional woman in the sense of, you know, all the other stuff. And he's also a little crazy. And so now he's like, suddenly she's on his radar. He's like, I have to bang my sister-in-law because of her birthmark.
I felt, though I didn't know what was going to happen, but I felt it was like, he thinks his wife is fake, but his sister-in-law is real or authentic. Because she's like, no, I just don't want to eat meat. And I guess he finds that hot, and she's got that birthmark.
He's an art type, so who the fuck knows? Yeah.
Yep. And so the very first thing is like he has this idea of people with their body, like nude people, but their bodies are painted with like flowers and plants, just like covered head to toe in body paint of like plants, and they're fucking. And that's like what he wants to do.
But it's her, it's Young Hee and him. It's not just any two people.
Yes,
exactly. But he also thinks that he's too out of shape and uggo to actually be the one in the video. So
first he has an artist, not he doesn't have an artist space, like a friend has like a studio kind of thing, and he like asks a friend if he can borrow it, then Young Hee, so she's now divorced and living on her own. She was in the mental ward in the mental health ward, I guess you could say, South Korea's version, for a while, but now she's back home, and he just like calls her and says, hey, do you want to be in an art piece of mine? But you can't tell. And he's like, okay. So she comes over to the art studio, takes off all their clothes, and then he paints her, and you know, on all first her back, and then she flips over and paints her front like flowers and all this stuff. And he's like, and then he like takes out his camcorder and records it, and he's like, yes.
It's but like also, American but Beauty.
Actually, yeah, you know, it does remind me of American Beauty.
Just like that creepy guy with a fucking camcorder all the time.
Beautiful bag I've ever mm-hmm. seen.
And then, so he like records it, and you know, and he's like, "This is so amazing." And the book clearly considers this beautiful art, and it's like, "This is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard." Like, this is so dumb.
I mean, the book is from his perspective.
And the only other person who liked it is another dude, Jay, who's like, "Wow, I didn't think you were into such edgy art, bro." And then they mentioned something from Korean history that I had to look up. He's like, I thought you were just like, you know, traditional. Talk about the May Massacre or something like that. I had to look it up. And I realized I know none of the background information. I was like, fuck it. I'll assume everything. Yeah. But yeah, he thinks it's great. His bros think it's great. And Yong-hye doesn't really care. She just likes being painted with flowers. She doesn't care about the art part of it. She likes the flower close to nature part.
Because she wants to be a plant.
Which was foreshadowed in this line. I didn't realize, like, this is a fucking weird fuck. What does this mean? And, like, a little bit later makes sense. At one of the times when and they're like, why don't you have your titties out all the time? He says, he couldn't ask in that case. Why did you used to bare your breasts to the sunlight? Like some kind of mutant animal that had evolved to be able to photosynthesize. That's foreshadowing.
So anyway, so he like records her to get some video of her covered in body paint. And he's like, okay, that was cool. And then the next day he's like, oh,
I need more art.
And he calls his friend, his dude friend. He's like, you know, could I cover you in paint? He doesn't. I don't think he tells him about the sister-in-law. But so he's like, can I cover it? And he's like, yeah, sure, why not? So he paints him, and then she's there, and she's like, I didn't wash. I'm still wearing it. And so then they're naked together, covered in paint of different like flowers and plants and stuff like that. And he's like, now, and he's like, now do it. And then it's like the first they're like, you know, simulate kind of doing sexual acts, but also in an artistic way. I don't know.
Maybe, well, the guy is like, I don't want to make porn, man. What the fuck? And he's like, no, no, not like that. This is
erotica. It's different.
I don't know. Yeah.
Ladies like it too.
But then after trying several different positions, he's like, now just do
so
it.
And the guy
is like, yeah. He really is like that. And the guy's like, no, I'm not. No. And then he like freaks out and puts his pants on and leaves. And then what's his name? What's this?
They never say. It's just the brother-in-law. What's his name?
It's just the brother-in-law.
Yeah. They just never say his name.
The artist. And he's like, oh, okay, fine. But then he calls a friend of his and says, I need you to paint me, meaning paint flowers all over me. So he does. Then he goes, brings his camcorder over to his sister-in-law's house in the middle of the night, and then fucks her. Just like,
because he asks her when the model man, the male model, leaves, he's like, you think maybe I could fuck you? And she's like, it's really about the flowers for me. And he's like, oh, okay, got the memo. So then he's like, I came to make more art. And then they just have more sex. And then after him just, you know, banging her a lot, you know, and he's filming all this. There's the line of, in the dark blue light of dawn, he licked her buttocks for a long time.
And he keeps licking her Mongolian mark.
And he's like, it's delicious.
God, it's the same thing.
It's a different one. This is delicious. Double IPA.
Is it twice as good?
I'll tell you, it's only... Nate could do the percentages, and instead of that was 7.7, this is 9.4, so it's not double, but it's more. You know what is better? I do like it better. I don't know if I would say that about licking a painted lady's ass, but you know,
just your birthmark. Bad. It's not the poop hole. Albert Pujols.
I'm not going to kink shame anybody.
The man with the greatest baseball name in the world.
Well, yeah, well, because. That's the greatest baseball name. The greatest football name, of course, is Dick Butkus. Yeah,
of course.
I wonder what the... I mean, I don't know shit about hockey, but there's probably some Canadian guy who's like, Yank'em Cox or something, you know? This beer is lovely. It is delicious. And these beers are brought to us by our patrons. Go ahead over there if you wanted to support the podcast. Back to the book, guys.
So he bangs her, records it all, and then they like go to sleep. And it's at like 6 a.m. You know, it's been like up all night. And then they wake up, and then he wake up, and it's like, late afternoon. And then he goes out into the living room, and his wife is there. And she's like, huh, that's weird. So he's there, and she's been looking at what's on the camcorder. And so she sees that he just banged her sister. And then she's like, yeah, and I called the police.
It's one thing to bang your wife's sister. It's not a cool move, bro. But also, the sister...
She wasn't even stuck in a dryer.
The sister believes, you know, perhaps rightfully so in the context of this book, that her younger sister is insane. And so he's taking advantage of this mentally ill sister while she's in the throes of insanity, which is a double dick move and not the cool kind.
So clearly, she's giving him the chance, like, you must be crazy too to have done this.
Yes.
And he's like, yeah, crazy for that puss.
For that butt that. Mark.
Yeah, crazy for that ass. And then he goes, and then she's like, they're coming right now. And you hear like the orderlies coming up the street. He's like, all right, time to commit suicide. It's the only way to solve this problem. And he tries to jump over, he thinks about jumping over the balcony to die. But then he doesn't. Chapter ends. And you find out in the next chapter, he kind of tried, but the orderly grabbed him. And then once
they were paramedics. She was living at home. She's not in an asylum.
Yeah, paramedics. But she was like, I called the authorities to take you to the insane asylum.
Yeah, I guess that's a thing you can do in Korea. I don't know.
Well, yeah, there was something interesting in the third part about that, right? Like, where the wife, because the third part is told from the perspective of
the sister.
The fuck is her name? The sister in Hye, and she kind of remembers it. It's like they took him to be evaluated. He wasn't crazy, so they took him to the police station. Is an interesting chain of custody, and then he just ran away and just vanished out of the life of his wife and his child. His left
he's
son.
Still big on deviant art.
Is he still making shitty art?
You don't find out, but no.
But he would be.
That was like the highlight of the book for me. It was like, oh, good, this fucking modern art asshole is about to kill himself. That's one less installation. It's just like a pile of Legos covered in cat turds. Don't you get it?
Can't build with shit. I don't know.
The cat was bricked up.
So the third part is the sister mostly, you know, hanging out or visiting Yonghye, who is now fully institutionalized and has been for months. It's like, it may be like a year later.
It's been like 3 years since she stopped eating meat.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of dreamy, especially in the beginning. You don't really know how long that part took.
Yeah.
But you find out that she's fully, and it's kind of like in media res, like she's going there to like help her sister, and she's remembering like the past several months of her sister wandering off and getting lost in the woods from the institution.
And a bunch of things happen where it's like, they're there. She goes. So she's like, she arrives at the place at the, you know, at the mental hospital, which is out sort of more in the countryside, and it's raining. And she's hearing it. And she's like, oh no. And the doctor immediately says, oh no, she's very ill. She's like so thin. We tried to feed her through a feeding tube, but that didn't even work. Like, and she is so thin.
She's basically at the point where like the shock of a feeding tube would kill her. If they had to put her under, because they gave her, like, I think a nose tube, and she just pulled it out. And if they tried to give her the stomach tube, putting her under would probably kill her. So they're like, I don't know what
they
to
say
do.
At some point she's below 30 kilograms. So she's like 60 pounds or so.
Which is not very much.
30, yeah. She is a skeleton. She has lost.
Because she's trying to be photosynthetic, so it is not
doesn't
working.
Doesn't work, yeah. Works for...
And when she gets there, I wasn't sure if this was a flashback or if that was happening this time. She was standing on her hands, and she was like a tree, and she was like, I'm a tree. And everyone's like, that's a little weird.
Well, she's like, I realized that all the trees are standing on their heads, and the roots are their hands reaching up into the ground, and their leaves are like my puss, kind of like the bush is their leaves and their legs sticking out up into the sky, but really they're reaching up into the ground. And they're like, oh, okay.
You're mixing your metaphors here with the bush and the trees. It's really weird.
Tree in the hole in the ground.
I get that you're trying to branch out. She's a leave me alone.
Well, that's really what she says. Yeah, leave me alone. I mean, she says leave me alone. And she says like, I know, I'm a plant now. And she's like, and soon the thoughts will stop. And I thought for a minute it was going to be the book was going to be like, well, okay, so in the previous section, the brother-in-law implanted this idea, pun intended, implanted the idea that she's a plant by painting her in flowers. But that didn't really come back, so I'm not sure that was actually
she liked
what was supposed to have happened.
Because she thought she was already a plant.
Yeah.
And now she's just going even deeper into that. And also at this point, Inhye is the only one in her family still even talking to her. Like her family, her parents, and her brother and his wife, they've all cut her off because she's a lost cause or something. Or she's an embarrassment.
Thought I had a pun for stamen, but I lost it. So then, thinking of plant parts.
And when they told her she was pistil the next day.
Well, the word pistil does appear in the book when in the fucking scene, he's like, that's my dick is a pistil. It's like, ew, dude, it's fucking weird. That's not how flowers, like, they don't fuck each other. They need bees to do it. It's like they fuck each other with a bee condom on. But ironically, that gets them pregnant. The plant world is crazy. So then they're like, she's fucking fading and just going away. And Inhye is like trying to reason with her sister. But like, it's like trying to reason with a fucking tree. Like, it's not working. And Younghye is just kind of losing consciousness and just evaporating. And her body is so wasted.
And at some point I forget why, but it's like she realizes that Younghye had been just abused senselessly by her father. He beat the shit out of her all the time because she was the oldest.
Was Younghye the oldest?
Because the other one was a boy.
Inhye was the oldest, I thought.
Inhye was the oldest.
She was the youngest. I don't know why he beat her. For the purposes of the story.
She says it's like because Inhye was the oldest sister, she was kind of like training as another mom. Like she was doing all of those jobs. The son was treated like a fucking little prince. And then the only person for dad to take his Vietnam PTSD stress out on was the youngest daughter. And she's like, oh, shit. All those times, and I was like trying to be a stronger, you know, like be like the model big sister, is actually me being a total coward and ignoring the trauma and you know, insanity that my sister was experiencing. Ooh, too late. But maybe not even what the reason was, because who fucking knows?
Who the fuck knows?
There were two lines in this part that I was like, aha, that must be it. But now I don't know. But
I think if you could sum it up with one line, it's not right.
So Inhye says, after she's like remembering this trauma, and then she says, the feeling that she had never really lived in this world caught her by surprise. It was a fact. She had never lived. Even as a child, as far back as she could remember, she had done nothing but endure. She had believed in her own inherent goodness, her humanity, and lived accordingly, never causing anyone harm. Her devotion to doing things right, the right way, had been unflagging. All her success had depended on it, and she would have gone on like that indefinitely. Like, she just ignored, like, just tried to do the right thing, and just kind of, like, you know, kept on. But then she's like, I never lived my life.
And to her, doing the right thing is doing what you're supposed to do as a woman, and not necessarily the actual right thing of like making sure your listeners get the shit beaten out of by your dad.
it's fitting into the system as it.
We're doing what you want,
yeah.
As a person, it's also like doing what society expects you to do.
There is the line, yeah.
And only that
a little bit later, where she says, "When they try to force the feeding tube into Yang-hae, and she like vomits blood, and In-hae is like, oh fuck, this is wrong. This is not what she wants. This is not what's supposed to happen." She goes, "Idiot," to herself. And she goes, "It's your body. You can treat it however you please. The only area where you're free to do just as you like. And even that doesn't turn out how you wanted." I was like, that would go in my paper. I don't know what else would go in. A lot of meat puns, but that would be in there.
Yeah, meat puns.
Meat puns for sure. I mean, I don't know how the sausage of this book was made, but that quote felt important.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a lot of... you should be allowed to do what you want, which is, I know is certainly in America, individualism and doing what you want is like
number
expected.
One. America rates highest on this. Like if you survey every country and like what our cultural values are important, like doing your own thing, America rates highest on that than any other country in the world.
Yeah. And Asian countries, I would assume, rank pretty low because they have a big, big culture of societal expectations and, you know, fitting in.
Like those Confucian ideals of like fit into your role. God damn it. What is the.
I don't know.
I was really hoping the word would come to me.
Confucius, five relationships?
No, not. It's like a regular word. Conforming. There you go. That's the word I was trying to think of. Conformity.
Conforming, yes.
It's a huge.
Conforming is a big part.
A big part of like East Asian cultures. Thanks to that bastard Confucius. He's like, everything would be great if people just did what I told them. Like, yeah, we all. It's basically Confucianism.
What a novel idea.
Yeah, I had the same fucking thought, Confucius. But you don't say Mike say and then say racist shit. Mike just says it. That felt like that, you know, that was, that has to be what the fucking book is about. I don't understand.
I mean, it's about a million things, apparently. It's definitely part of it, absolutely. But this is not a book that can be summed up as being about one thing or being a, you know, I don't even know. I don't even know, man. It was hard.
Well, in the little blurb on the Booker website,
it says, good luck to you.
Yeah.
We picked this as a joke.
No, this is a novel that has some layers questioning human violence and the impossibility of innocence, defining sanity and madness. Well, it's kind of like, if society, is it sane to go along with a society that represses absolutely everything that you want? You know, and so one thing that Yang-hae does is she just does her own thing and society classifies her as completely mentally, you know, as crazy and punishes her. And then she just keeps doing it.
I get that. The part of it that is confusing to me is maybe it's just an example of like being extreme for, you know, literary punch where she like starves herself to death, but she is starving to death. I guess, you know, that's do what you want, taken to the extreme, but that made it more confusing to me where it's like, yeah, if he was just like a vegetarian, they locked her up for that. Be like, oh, maybe that's too heavy-handed for a Nobel Prize-winning book. I don't know, but that part was extra confusing in terms of the message because she was dying, and she doesn't die at the end of this book, but you know, she expected that she dies immediately after.
Well, the doctor says she has anorexia, and anorexia isn't. It's commonly thought of as somebody who just really wants to be thin, which that is like probably part of it in a lot of people, but it's also about control. You know, for some people, and you kind of can kind of see this in children sometimes, if they have absolutely no control over their own life, then what they do is they control the one thing, which is just not eat, which is like they just control the one measure of control they can exert over the situation is, well, I'm just not going to eat. And that's kind of one thing that can lead to anorexia. And so she wants to have control over her own self. And so that's what she does.
It's also one of the big symptoms of it is no matter what you actually look like, the way you see yourself is not that. So you don't see yourself as too
body
thin.
Body dysmorphia.
You see yourself as being fat, even if you're just bones. So like seeing yourself in a different way as everybody else. It's also the mental illness with the highest mortality rate.
Hmm. Well, it's kind of, I mean, if you can't, I mean, how do you disabuse somebody of the notion, like, the way you see yourself? Like
you have to get them young. I mean, for anorexia, I know. In terms of, like, this book, I don't know. But for actual anorexia, if you don't do, like, hardcore therapy by the time that they are out of their mid-teens, it's very likely they'll never get over it.
Well, that's cheerful. But... But it's not clear if she doesn't have anorexia. It's like that a doctor says that at the end, and it's like that's him trying to
make
sense.
That's like the best thing they could think of.
It presents as anorexia, except it is deeper than that. It's
she thinks she's a tree.
Like, yeah, she thinks she doesn't need to eat.
Arborexia. No? Nate?
That she eats trees?
I don't know. I don't know what the rexia means. King of trees. He's just trying to, he's again trying to fit her actions into his
rexia
view.
Comes from means appetite or to desire. So anorexia means to desire nothing.
Oh,
okay. Arorexia would be to desire trees.
Which, I mean, who doesn't? They give me wood. He's just trying to fit her actions into his worldview there, you know? It's just like another, I saw that as another example of, they don't get it. Not that I did, but like no one gets it. Like what she wants. They're just like, she's crazy. She's weird. She's anorexic. And I was like, I don't think this book is really about being vegetarian. And I don't think it's about being anorexic.
No. If she wasn't dying and saying she was actually a tree, I feel like I would have come away with a little bit more. Like, if she was just a vegetarian and it was, you know, a quirky, not quirky because it's fucking depressing, but just like they locked her up for that and be like, oh, I get it. It's about doing what you want. But since she thinks I am a tree, like it's hard for me to get what that the fuck is about.
Yeah. This isn't just was it the yellow wallpaper, that story. Remember that? Was that like eight years ago?
Yeah.
Where that was also like the woman being, wasn't that one like the woman being weird and the men's like, oh, we need to lock you away to protect you from yourself.
Yes. So she was also losing her mind. Maybe.
But it's probably be from being like fucking...
From being locked away.
Yeah.
Well, the treatment for whatever she had, which might have just been depression, was they thought overstimulation was bad for you. So they literally made you lie in bed in a room and do nothing. This is the yellow wallpaper. And so she was just staring at the yellow wallpaper for fucking hours and hours, which... can't be good for you.
Did they try cutting her and pouring cocaine into her to get the ghosts out of her?
It always helps me.
I mean, that's what I usually do.
Yeah, maybe this is you know, they're trying to convince her that she's wrong. I mean, that's the thing we seem to be agreeing on, right? Like they're trying to tell her she's wrong, which actually they're wrong. They're trying to gaslight her, but she's like. But they're like, no, it's pronounced Jaslight. You've been saying it wrong.
Gandalf.
Well, nice, it's Jif.
Nice job, genius.
Pronounced Jif.
I saw that. It was really funny. It's actually pronounced Jaslight.
It's, like it's always been pronounced Jaslight.
Yeah, you've been saying it wrong this whole time.
So anyway, the book ends with... the sister, with Young Hae, being sent to what they call the general hospital. So, you know,
soap opera.
No, to
she
like,
has a
not
twin
just a mental
who was
ward,
in a coma.
To it was the witch doctors the whole time. And then she's like sent off to an even more restrictive hospital, which. Is opposite of the American system. In the American system, you're sent to an institution that specializes in mental health.
Or the subways. That's the other place you might go in America.
Or the A train.
Yeah, they might be like, or no one cares, and then we're just going to pretend you don't exist. A lot of that happens.
Or the sidewalk. Yeah. So
I also don't know if that's how they do it in Korea or if that's just the purpose of this book.
So So the book has the translation of the book has also been criticized for like.
Oh, of course. Why not?
So we may not even criticized have really what? Read The Vegetarian.
I feel like I didn't. And I've read it twice.
You know
now.
What? I'm going with that. Yes.
Yeah, it's fucking what's her name? Deborah Smith's problem, the translator.
Yeah.
Nice job, Deb.
What was it criticized for?
Apparently, like changing the kind of style of the language. This is
I don't even know what that means.
partly, some said that she may have attributed dialogue to the wrong characters, which that's a pretty big fuck up.
It couldn't be that bad, could it?
I don't know. I didn't really follow all the footnotes. But, and then another person, someone said that she embellished Han's writing style. And that one translator said it's more of an adaptation than a translation. Which, that's like a spectrum kind of thing.
It's a very gray area.
I think they're saying she went beyond the acceptable. Which, I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know any Korean, so...
But so I did. That is a section on the Wikipedia page, and I was like, "Oh God damn it! I don't even want to go down this rabbit hole." To know, to because at the end of the day, like I will be able to do nothing with that information. I'm just going to accept that this is the book.
I don't know if a different translation would have affected the outcome here.
No,
I doubt it could have been so radically different that it really
that it was understandable.
Yeah.
No, that was never going to happen. That was.
I mean, it won the fucking Booker. It must be an okay translation.
Yeah, but the judges probably only speak English. The judges probably don't speak or read Korean, so they can't know the quality of the translation.
I hope there was one judge who did speak Korean, and the whole fucking time was like, yeah, it's just better in Korean. Just like a fucking exchange
student. Have you
read
it on vinyl?
Yeah, just like the bass really churns in Korean.
Well, it's like they said in Don Quixote, when the guy was selling the rug, it's like reading a translation is like looking at the back of a rug. I was like, sure, but I don't know how to fucking make rugs, so that's all I got, buddy.
That has also been a criticism, by the way, of the Nobel Prize in Literature, which Han Kang won, is that it's an international award, but almost every winner has been from the West. Because that's where, you know, the big literature critics...
Because that's where Sweden is.
True, yeah. So English, I'm sure English writers are over... I mean, they gave one to fucking Bob Dylan, you know, so English writers are over... English-speaking writers are overrepresented, and ones that somebody is likely to have, you know, fluency in, you know, Italian or Russian or whatever, way more likely than, you know... Like, there are no Papua New Guinea fucking Nobel Prize winners for literature, even though they produce literature. So it's just a far smaller number of Western literary critics who also are fluent in Korean. So they're just kind of, they only get it in translation. And one part I really liked of the Wikipedia page of the page for this is it says the Vegetarian has been translated into 32 languages. And if you ever wanted to know how to say vegetarian in 32 languages, this chart is really handy because it's just like La Vegetariana. Oh, I wonder what that means.
Also not accepted in Italy.
And then Romanian, Vegetariana, no article. Interesting. German, Die Vegetarian.
You must eat pork now.
But yeah, you just look at it and you're like, wow, the word vegetarian is really the same in every fucking language. Except for like Icelandic, where it has a bunch of letters you've never seen before. Like Grand Matatistatatabandan.
It sounds like gnomes.
Yeah, you gotta say, there's no meat. And then you, that's.
There's no meat in any of these dishes, I promise. Ting, ting, bong, bong. Throw nickels in the oven.
Charge to not eat meat. Yes, I thought that was really fun. Bulgarian has a fucking letter. I mean, it's like half Cyrillic. Nobody speaks.
Just one.
How many Bulgarian speakers are like, I need to read that South Korea novel? Good Lord. So what'd you guys think of the book, though? as a reading experience.
I didn't like the experience. I know it's good as a book, and I know it's interesting and very is the highest of brows. Like the brows are no longer on the head.
It's like a Neanderthal. The brow, it's just so prominent.
Yeah, so much brow. I've read it twice now, and it's so difficult. You get nothing from it. And because of the cultural things, like, you get even less. But even if I was fucking Korean, I'd still be like, this is a difficult one, man. I don't know. Yeah. So, I mean, I know it's not bad. This is not for me. I'm not sure who, this is for people who are English professors. Maybe not even English students. Maybe grad students.
Yeah, they're snobby enough. They would also have been like, tell me more about that video art. Sounds edgy. Nate, what'd you think?
So in the beginning, I was like, you know what? With the metamorphosis thing, I'm like, you know what? I kind of feel like I might be getting what she's saying here. And then we got to part two. And then I was like, Mongolian Mark? What is this? And then
that's the only part I did understand.
From that point forward, I mean, not that I say I could have predicted what was going on at any point, but at least in the first part, it's like, oh, she just doesn't want to eat meat. And then the society is like, fuck you. No, you must conform. Like that part I was kind of getting. But then that was only the first third. And then the second two thirds, like, oh, okay, maybe that doesn't actually fit. Damn it. Oh, I'm just a dummy, as always. Because I didn't know, like, and I thought the video art thing was stupid. I was like, this is good art, but no, this is bad art. This is this clearly is very bad art.
It does imply that he, like, is not respected as an artist. So,
also true. So maybe it's a little bit of satire there. And then the third part, when she's like dying in the hospital because she thinks he's a tree, I'm like, oh, okay, what the fuck? more like, what meaning? I don't know what this is about exactly.
It became difficult to even pretend that I was following along.
Made me long for the first part of the book again. Yeah, I can't add anything to that because I can't add my lack of getting it. Like, I already didn't.
I will say, no matter how little we got it, we still did way better than the fucking idiot who thought it was about vegetarians being oppressed.
It's a really subtle book about being a vegetarian.
This is vegetarian propaganda. They don't have it that hard. Like, just go. Just go.
I would not recommend this to anybody. Not because I'm sure it's a great book. It's important.
I don't know anyone on this level.
No. The four-dimensional Vulcan chess level? No, I don't know anybody there yet.
No. I wouldn't feel comfortable being like, do you like books? You should read The Vegetarian. It'll make you not like books.
Actually, you ask someone, do you hate books? Do you like feeling stupid?
Do you want to confirm your beliefs?
I read it. Knowing that we had to talk about it, I was really stressed. Just reading the words, I was like, this is just a weird journey, and it's short. I didn't mind reading it. But when I closed the cover, and I was like, I really failed. I felt bad. I felt really bad about it.
I've let myself down again.
I'm so sorry, Han Kang. I disappointed you.
I've brought great shame upon my house.
I really have. I felt it in my soul.
This is not for regular people.
Because it's Korean name.
I know.
I got it, yeah.
I know we've been accused in the past of, you know, unthoughtful on certain things. But I think we're coming at this whole podcast from the perspective of, like, people who are not English students just reading books and seeing how it goes. And some are good and some are hard, man. And so saying we didn't get it, I do that without any shame of, like, yeah, this is hard. And saying people shouldn't read it is not saying it's bad. It's you're not going to get it. Maybe you will. Maybe you'll get something out of it. But I wouldn't feel right recommending this to anyone. Just be like, hey, check this book out. She won the Nobel Prize. It's hard enough that, like, I know that it's good, I guess. And I know that there's a lot in there. I don't know how I'm supposed to get any of it.
Yeah.
Well, if you got any, send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Please help.
Please send help.
And if you want to support the podcast, you can meet us over at patreon.com/drunkguysbookclub.
And you can sausage us at other ones. Facebook. What's the other one? Instagram. That's the other one. Drunk Guys Book Club. And Goodreads, where we just read cookbooks.
It would be a mistake to not follow us on Goodreads.
Type it adequately, not ham-fistedly.
And don't be a chicken and check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.
Cutlet.
Nice to meet you.